I really appreciate the commercial where there are two people sitting in the airport and they see a commercial and they're talking about words. You know, words, sticks and stones break your bones, words never hurt you. But, you know, the wisdom of this one individual says, you know, words can hurt you. And the commercial segues to the scene of an old Western classic looking. And there's a man on a horse. And there's a lady. Her name is Daisy. And Jesse's up on the horse. And Jesse says, I'm a loner. And a loner's got to do what a loner's got to do. A loner's got to be alone. And he rides off into the sunset, and there it is. In most films, we see the end just magically appears. And as Jesse is riding off into the sunset, he runs into the end, and it knocks him off his horse. Jesse was grounded by the end. He sought to be alone, and that loneliness had consequences. Today, we're looking at this idea of loneliness, an unwanted isolation or a lack of connection. Upon creating Adam, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Dr. Jacqueline Olds says that solitude can be a wonderful gift until it drifts into loneliness. And she also writes, you feel alone, even empty, and you want to connect with others, but the loneliness only makes it more difficult. Loneliness, it's a real thing. The word alone actually comes from two words, all, one. All, one. You think about that. It's having no companion, solitary, apart from any other, all, one. You know, and I think about words, we know that words can hurt us, not just emotionally, but our emotions have physical consequences. We are our whole self, body, mind, and soul. We work as one unit, yet we are called to be a part of a greater body, right? The ear can't do the nose's job, and the nose can't do the foot's job. And we see this in Scripture, how Paul lets us know that we're all in this together. The early church had everything in common. They shared everything, not just the good things, but the bad, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. But the good news for us as believers is words hurt. Words can kill. But as a believer, we know that the word saves. The word saves. You know, you may have seen the TV show. It's called Alone. It's a survival show. And they're out on the other side of Canada. And they're all alone. All alone. And often what sends people home is not the lack of survival technique or tactics. It's not the shelter. It's not the food. It's not the water. It's the loneliness. The loneliness sends them back. Loneliness. Studies suggest that loneliness shortens lifespan. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, in his classic, The Rim of the Ancient Mariner, alone, alone, all, alone, alone, on a wide, wide sea, not a saint took pity on my soul in agony. Alone. You know, sometimes we are surrounded by a sea of humanity, yet we are all alone, thirsting for companionship. Being lonely is not the same as being alone. Now, I'm going to tell you something really interesting. So Robbie and I, we're reading this book, and right now we're sharing. I've got a copy coming for my own. I was looking for the book, and, you know, I'm just so thankful I actually didn't go into the attic looking for the book, because it was the wrong book I would be looking for. It was Facing the Giants, but this is Slaying the Giants in Your Life. And last Sunday, I started reading part of the book, and I came across a quote. And that afternoon, just 6 hours, I'm telling you, 6 hours after I had read the same quote from a different book. It's from 1980. And I could remember the guy's name, because his name is Philip Zimbardo. And he wrote a piece in Psychology Today, 1980. I'm in middle school, okay? 1980. Let's not even think about that far back. That's a dangerous task, okay? Whether you think about your own self or me in middle school. 1980. Not just pre-COVID, right? Not just pre-COVID, when we learned like how volatile it is, this sense of loneliness. 1980, before cell phones, where everybody's sitting around together in a group but apart and separated because they're all on their own little devices with invisible walls communicating. Listen to this very powerful yet sad quote. There is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and us from them. Zimbardo points that the studies show that loneliness is a central agent of depression, paranoia, schizophrenia, rape, mass murder, and a wide variety of disorders and diseases. Loneliness. And that's my task for today. Psalm 25. David, a psalm of David. I'm sure David knew what it was to be alone and lonely. It's so nice to hear David's psalms that speak so deeply to ourselves. I'm just going to read the entire Psalm 25. Lord, I turn my hope to you. My God, I trust in you. Do not let me be disgraced. Do not let my enemies gloat over me. Not one person who waits for you will be disgraced. For those who act treacherously without cause will be disgraced. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your faithful love, for they have existed from antiquity. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my acts of rebellion. In keeping with your faithful love, remember me because of your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good and upright, and therefore he shows sinners the way. Praise be to God. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the Lord's way show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and decrees. Because your name, Lord, forgive my sin, for it is great. Who is the person who fears the Lord? He will show him the way he should choose. He will live a good life, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he reveals his covenant to them. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he will pull my feet out of the net, out of the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am alone and afflicted. The distresses of my heart increase. Bring me out of my sufferings. Consider my affliction and trouble, and take away all my sins. Consider my enemies. They are numerous, and they hate me violently. Guard me and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness keep me, for I wait for you. God, redeem Israel from all its distresses. You know, that sounds like something we could even write today. That sounds like something maybe in a shorter form as you pour your heart out in maybe some journaling. Like, there's going to be some echoes to this passage, to this song. Because David is letting us know exactly how he feels. But notice how much trust he puts in God, that God's providence will lead him through this valley. Don't forget, David is the one who reminds us that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no evil. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. We think about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. How alone was he? Paul, alone in a prison cell, at the end of his life specifically. But we can't help but think about Jesus, who often went alone on his own to be alone in solitude to pray. But that solitude was probably not the same as the loneliness he most likely experienced on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That God has promised us that we will never be forsaken. We will never be left alone. That he will be with us always to the end of time. And beyond, for eternity. And so, this morning I want to think about a pretty familiar character, Joseph. And Joseph actually shows up in chapter 30 of Genesis. But from chapter 37 through 50 of Genesis, minus chapter 38, Joseph is pretty much the main character. That's a lot of text. But I want to highlight a few things because I think Joseph had to suffer loneliness. So in chapter 37 of Genesis, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, in the land of Canaan. And these are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, the father's wives, and he had brought a bad report to them about their father. Now, Israel loved, this is where it all starts. And I do think that there's some connection between jealousy and loneliness. I haven't fleshed that all out in my mind, and so I'm not going to waste your time today thinking about that. But you can ponder that on your own time. But I do think there's a connection between jealousy and loneliness. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all the other sons Joseph had, because he was born to him in his old age. Now keep in mind, Joseph was the favorite. He got the coat of many colors. And he was the oldest son of Rachel, the one that Jacob really loved. And over a period of time, Jacob ended up having 12 sons. The youngest brother, the only youngest brother of Rachel, Benjamin, Rachel dies in childbirth. And so here we're in chapter 37, and Joseph is 17 years old. He gets this coat of many colors, he's set apart, and guess what the text tells us? It says that the brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. Well, of course they're going to be jealous. And what happens is one day, you know, after Joseph had told him these dreams about like how they're going to bow down to Joseph, even his mother and father, and they can't understand that. Like, how in the world is that going to happen? You're crazy. Get out of here. Well, the older brothers are out. They're out doing their tending business, and Jacob sends Joseph out to check on the brothers and Dothan, and well, they see him coming. And what do they do? What do they do? Oh, they plot to get rid of him. They just want to get rid of this little twerp. That's probably what they thought about him. If they had that word in that day, they probably called him a twerp. They threw him in a pit. And eventually was sold into slavery. And he went to Egypt. And he worked for Potiphar. And then Potiphar's wife decided that she liked him a lot. That didn't work out, so she framed him. He ends up in jail. He's in the dungeon. But the Lord blessed Joseph. And the warden put Joseph in charge of everybody in the jail. And the next thing you know, Joseph, he starts interpreting dreams, and he predicts that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh finds out about this, and he ends up putting Joseph in charge. And he was the second in command. So this guy who went from the pit is now the Pharaoh's prince. And Joseph had two sons. Look at Genesis 41, verses 50 through 52. Two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine arrived. Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, born to him. Joseph named the firstborn son Manasseh, meaning, God has made me forget all my hardship in my Father's house. One translation is, he's helped me forget all my hardship and all my family. I want you to just think, so many times we read these stories and we forget about how isolated Joseph most likely was. He had no family. He shipped off to a foreign land all by himself. But what did God do for this man? What did God do for this man? He put him in charge. He put him in charge of the entire country of Egypt. His second son, Ephraim, means that he has been fruitful in the land of affliction. You know, sometimes we feel like we have been thrown into a pit. But as David the psalmist writes, that God redeems us from the pit and he crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. We can't turn the clock back, but we can have that spirit that soars regardless of our circumstances. You know, what really makes me think about Joseph in his loneliness is when he is reunited with his family and he just breaks down and sobs because these are his people. So often we are separated from our people and we are lonely. So often we are just alone. And we may come to the garden alone, but as the hymn reminds us, he walks with me. You know, we may experience this loneliness in the troughs and valleys of life, and we may even be beneath the boughs of a loneliness tree. And God is calling to us, where are you? Are we hiding at times from God? But let me remind you, are you walking alone through the shadows dim? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Christ will comfort your heart. Place your trust in him. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. We're going to sing hymn number 80, God Leads Us Along. And you know, there's a story about a, actually, Carol, can you play that? Just play that through. Yeah. I want you to think about the rhythm of this hymn. It's inspiring, right? And it says that, wow, we may go through the waters and we may go through the floods. It might be a fire, but we're all going through the blood. The only hope that we have in this life is Jesus. And it's amazing, the rhythm of this hymn and how encouraging it is. We all have been alone. But God will never, ever forsake us.